What's up, everybody? It's your old friend, John Middlecoff. I'm here to tell you about our friends at Game Time. Here's what I need you to do. Go to your smartphone, download a little app called Game Time. Baseball season's in full swing. Oracle Park. Been there a million times. Never doesn't live up to the hype. Go get yourself some garlic fries, a brewski, maybe some ice cream. They have very good Ghirardelli ice cream there. And when you do that, promo code HAM. So download the Game Time app. Your first pair of tickets, promo code HAM, H-A-M, save $20. The A's, only going to be in the Bay Area for the rest of this season. You probably can basically go for free. Just buy a pair of tickets to any baseball game. They also have comedy shows if you want to check one of those out, or concerts. Game Time app, promo code HAM, save yourself $20. We don't even need a thank you. Just hammer that promo code.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Middlecoff!
Hey, me! Hey!
I would be lying if I said I knew 2 weeks ago the Niners were playing the Eagles on Sunday Night Football, John. I'd forgotten. I'm ready now.
I 100% did not know until you told me, did you know this game was on Sunday night? And I said, no, I did not know the game was on. I had no clue it was on Sunday night. So honestly, it makes it cool. That's fine with me. I mean, it'll feel big.
It's going to make it for a fun Sunday. Yeah. We'll do a late show. We may go live before the game on YouTube, Periscope, Twitter.
Did you see the stat that just ran on as this Jets Broncos game is wrapping up?
No.
That Brett Rypien, who, you know, the one satisfaction that Coach Hill and the Fresno State Bulldog program can take over Boise State. Do you know that a Boise State quarterback has never been drafted? That's what they said the night on the broadcast.
No,
I guess Brett Rypien told Troy Aikman, he's like, you know, I really thought I was going to be a late pick, and he was hurt when he wasn't drafted. And they said he wanted to be the first Boise State quarterback ever drafted. I was like, damn, the dogs had that shit over you, dog. But, you know, Tom Brandstetter, Billy Volek, Dave Carr.
Trent Dilfer.
That Rypien is the first guy to make win his first start and throw three picks since Jim Druckenmiller.
Wow.
And did you say a Jim Druckenmiller story on the podcast the other day?
No, I think I told you off the podcast that Bob McGinn for The Athletic, Bob McGinn does those great draft profiles every year. You were telling me about him years ago. I started reading them in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Is that where he worked?
Yeah. Now he does The Athletic. He does the same articles now just for The Athletic.
So he wrote a big, like 2 weeks ago or last week, a big Jim Druckenmiller talking to the people who were like the scouts and the GMs. Like, what did people think of Jim Druckenmiller at the time? And the story was, you know, Walsh was consulting with the Niners. Vinny Serrato was the GM. Mooch had just come to the 49ers from his 1 year at Cal.
Like 97, right?
Mooch liked Pat Barnes, the Cal quarterback, but he had broken his wrist at the Senior Bowl, so he was out. Walsh preferred Jake Plummer, but Serrato didn't want to be seen as, like, you know, having Walsh be the puppet master from the outside. So they were going to go Drunken Miller. Bob McGinn didn't even have him as a first rounder. Drunken Miller was like a weight room guy, did have like, was a big partier, was not really athletic. But Kerry Collins had just had, like, just taken the Panthers to the postseason, won 12 games. Maybe they went to the Super Bowl. And like,
I think they went to the NFC. They went to the NFC Championship game.
Okay. And Drunken Miller, like, people thought that was his comp. The Niners tried to move up to get Tony Gonzalez.
Tony Gonzalez, right?
Couldn't. Yeah. Chiefs beat him to it. And so they were going to go Drunken Miller. They asked, like, Mooch what he thought. And Mooch was like, well, Mooch just got there from Cal. Like, he hadn't really scouted. He didn't feel comfortable. Like, I'm brand new here. I haven't really seen the guy. I'm not really going to pound the table, say don't take him. So they draft him. What was the story that Steve Young was like? It looks like, was it Steve Young or so like my job?
Yeah.
Safe? This was not part of it. You told me that.
On the night of the draft, I remember we recorded a bunch of shit and I remember just like turning on the TV and I think they were replaying from after the draft. It was Mooch, Rich, and Steve had called in.
That's right.
After I had done that little thing with Larry Beal.
That's
and
right.
Steve had called in, or maybe it was Friday. Maybe it was the following night. And they were obviously.
Were you
the
on
hot
with Steve,
was,
or this was a different night, you're saying?
This might have been the next day. Maybe I was watching on Friday NFL Network leading up to round two.
Okay.
Hot story of the day is Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
So they have Steve on, and Rich is asking him just like normal media questions, and Mooch is like, tell us the truth, Steve. Were you intimidated? Or were you pissed off? And Steve's like, you know, I was a little mad until I saw his first practice and I saw how terribly, or no, I saw his first two passes. I'm like, this guy stinks. And it's like, and then they all started laughing about it, but he was dead serious.
Well, you know? The only
and
reason
I do think there's a little Aaron Rodgers with that with Jordan Love. Like, he's terrible in practice. Aaron Rodgers got to be like, are you serious?
Like that situation, Drunken Miller did not win the backup job. One of the Brahms, whichever Brahm it was.
Was the backup quarterback,
but he
Drunken
got,
Miller's
but they both
year.
Got hurt, and that's why Drunken Miller was the third string for that start.
Yeah,
but both quarterbacks.
Usually, if you end up with your third string quarterback, your team's in shambles.
Well, right? Not on Thursday Night Football against the Jets.
No, that's true.
You play the Jets with your third stringer, you win by double. You put up they put up 37? They put up as many points.
Remember,
as Kyle put up? How many points did they before?
I'm not trying to be an asshole. Mullins, when he was a third stringer, beat the shit out of Carr, Gruden, and the Raiders. Remember on Thursday Night Football?
That's true.
Killed him. He was we can't consider him a third stringer anymore, right?
Mullins.
That year Mullen was a third stringer, right? Jimmy turns ACL. CJ's the backup. CJ sucked. They ended up just said, fuck it, let's give Mullen some shots. And he starts he beat the shit out of the Raiders. And that's when Brett Favre called in. Remember, he was a third stringer that year. You lose the third stringer, it's a pretty big indictment to that team that year, right? That's a bad, it should not happen.
God.
Tonight's bad. Gase is fucked.
All right, John, before we jump in, let's tell the people this podcast, recording on a Thursday night in the dark, is brought to you by Ease.com. Promo code HAM. Get you $20 off a delivery of $50 or more. Or Ease10 if you're a returning user. Get you 10% off.
Ease.com. Promo code HAM. EAZE.com. Promo code HAM. Also, promo code HAM10. Get on it right now. Vapes, pre-rolls. They got a ton of deals. I'm constantly getting emails. Ease.com. Promo code HAM. Promo code HAM10 to get 10% off if you're a return user. Vapes, pre-rolls. You name it, they got it. Check it out. Do it now.
Got to be 21 or over. Get verified online in minutes. Once you get verified, you make the order. It gets delivered to you in minutes. Tell your friends. We appreciate the word of mouth. EAZE, ease.com, promo code HAM, or returning users, promo code HAM10. Podcast also brought to you by the incredible products of Burrow.com. Burrow.com/ham. Just trust us. Just go right now, pull out your phone, burrow.com/ham, just to see what we're talking about. I don't know if anyone does at the level that Burrow does it, what Burrow does, John. High quality couches, sofas, sectionals, love seats delivered right to you in boxes. You snap them all together. They're so easy.
Yep. You can assemble at your sofa in minutes by yourself, no tools, add, remove seats when needed, convert a love seat into a sofa, into a sectional and back. It's so versatile, guy. Think about this. We're spending so much time at home. You need versatile furniture. Burrow has you covered. You support the podcast at the same time. You get cool furniture delivered right to your house. Easy to put together. Built-in USB chargers. Get with the times. 2020. Don't you hate it when you run out of juice sitting on the couch? You don't have a charger by you. You're like, I don't even have a,
it's almost 2021.
A plug by me.
I know.
Yeah, it's almost 2021. Again, get on it right now. Get $75 off your first Burrow purchase plus fast, free shipping. I love free shipping at burrow.com/ham. Check out the site for details. That's burrow.com/ham. $75 off.
You pick the fabric, the leg finish, the armrest style, the length, the chase lounge, the autumn, and both. 23,000 different ways to customize. burrow.com/ham for $75 off. All right. It looks like it's going to be Mullins. Jimmy Garoppolo didn't practice again on Thursday. Nick Mullins against Carson Wentz, John. So the question is, which guy decides this Sunday night football game? I saw somebody tweeted, they had a graphic of week four storylines on Thursday night, and it was like Mullins was the photo, not Wentz, for the Eagles-Niner game. I was like, oh.
Did you see they asked Doug Peterson what he thought of Nick Mullins? He's like, well, it must be nice to have two starting quarterbacks. He wasn't like taking a shot or anything.
Yeah, I think Wentz, just respect, he just, right?
Yeah, he was like, they got two starting quarterbacks.
Let me see this. Jason tweeted this. The photo was Dak, Mahomes, Rodgers, Mullins.
I think that's a little strong. And listen, we're pro Nick Mullins. I actually enjoy, like, speaking to the team, like, this videos of him. He seems like guys gravitate toward him. You talked about it last week. Like, it is a very difficult situation to be in, to be, like, the leader, but not overstep your boundary, but know that at any moment you got to lead the troops. But ultimately, you're not the general until you actually have to be the general, and then you better lead. It's a weird spot. And he benefits from having done it before, and a lot of those guys know him. But, like, Debo and Brandon Ayuk don't know him, right? Like, Kittle does. Like, Trent Williams, like, who's this guy? I mean, he's like, that's Kirk Cousins Jr., you know? I do think the headline of this game, though, guy, and to me, it's, I guess the fans in San Francisco wouldn't care, but I do think they would be on him. I guess it's San Jose, would be Carson Wentz. Like, to me, the elephant in the room is Sunday Night Football. Everyone coming in is going to think, like, oh, Kyle Shanahan could roll out Haberman or Middlecoff and he'd win. Like, that's what I think people think of Kyle Shanahan right now. It doesn't matter who his quarterback is.
Niner fans.
Most of them have
not all people.
Yeah, but I just think a lot of people around the country that just, like, see the Niners are good without Jimmy, like, God, it's like Kyle. Where I think the Eagles, if you just ask a casual football fan in Texas, in L.A., in Tampa, be like, damn, you see the Eagles are 0-3 or 0-2-1? I think everyone would be like, God, Carson Wentz, he's terrible right now. Regression? What's up with Carson Wentz? Like, to me, that's the story. This max quarterback who Kyle talk about it like, listen, I know he's bad. I know he's had bad numbers, but, like, the talent, I mean, it just jumps off the screen. But if it gets bad, guy, like, the entire – there's 15, 20 million people watch Sunday Night Football, right? It would be bad for – like, I think people would just be – like, Carson Wentz, I don't know, a bust, but I it'll get pretty ugly for
well,
him.
Well, I think – I mean
– the Niners' defense is pretty good.
Look, it would be the number one story Chris – it is – I think it's going to be the number one story Chris Collinsworth is talking about. Is Carson Wentz – what is he? What are they? Is what we're seeing from Carson because he's trying to do too much and his talent's not good? And they're certainly aware, like, by Sunday night, we'll know what Nick Foles did on Sunday. Because if he plays well against the Colts, that's part of the story. But that is kind of their story. Now, I do think with Mullins, and we've seen Mullins is not just...
And if the Cowboys, Giants, and Redskins all lose, which is possible, it'd be like, God, all the Eagles need to do is win, and they're fucking tied in first place, right?
Yeah. But I also think Mullins is not, like, to the point that Doug Peterson made, Mullins doesn't play like the substitute bus driver who, like, drives 5 miles an hour under the speed limit, I guess is what a substitute bus driver would do. Like, Mullins tries to get you to school 5 minutes early. Like, he does make some plays where it's like, does he know he's just supposed to be out there managing this thing? It's like, no, he tries to make plays. So that aside, my point being, like, I do think there's the possibility that he throws a couple picks. They're like that, he hasn't had that opportunity yet. In games that matter. But I think really with everything we think of Kyle being true, and we'll talk about it, but Kittle back, Debo back, Ayuk now rolling a little bit. We saw the running game without Mostert. Wentz is the one that in some ways really decides this game. If he throws three touchdowns and 370 yards like he's capable of, it's going to be hard to beat. But he might throw two picks. I mean, in fact, the math says he's so far this year, he's going to throw two picks, right? He's got six through three games. And one of them is going to be, let me talk to the people at home, John, like a presidential debate. Folks, one of them is going to be a backbreaker. You can take that to the bank with you. So, yeah, I mean, do you think Wentz decides this game is what I'm rambling, but that's what I'm getting at.
Well, Guy, let me speak to the people as well. Why can't Robert Saleh and the Niners defense kind of put a stake in Wentz's reputation? Because everyone's kind of already out right now. What if they just throttle? They're better than the Rams defense as a unit. They're better than, clearly, the Bengals defense.
Washington.
Like, their unit, their team is just good. Like, they will tip balls. They will pressure the quarterback. Their linebacking play is fantastic. I mean, Warner's everywhere. If you just told me, like, Fred Warner has a pick six against Wentz as he's trying to throw to a running back. Like, Wentz, to me, better be fucking locked and loaded. This defense is active. They're fast. They're physical. Like, this is just not a defense that you want to play. They just fly the fuck around, and they have talent if you are struggling. Like, to me, this is a scary, as a fan of football, like, it could get really ugly for Wentz. Not just in the game, but, like, leading into next week, right? He could be like one of the number one stories in football if he just has like a 3 or 4 pick night, and they are just terrible. And the Niners, Guy, they're a 7-point favorite. Like, they're big. They're expected to beat them. But the one thing with Kyle, if he's off, he'll score points. All of a sudden, you look up. Are the Eagles down 35-15? Or like,
yeah,
the Eagles have been shitty, Guy.
Yeah, they have. They were doing what they were supposed to do to Washington and gave it back to him because Wentz made mistakes, right?
We're 2.5 weeks removed from that now, right, though, and more
but,
games.
But you agree, like, Wentz still has 350 yards and 4 touchdowns in him. Because if he does that and they win,
I do think it's
too.
A little more no Goddard, Deshaun's banged up, Alshon's
okay,
not
that's
around.
Fair. Maybe it'll be tough for him this week. I'm just saying, you believe, like, that game, he's going to have that game again one day.
Yeah, if you told me that he gets Kittle, Debo, and Ayuk, I'd be like, oh, Wentz could kill it with those three guys.
But I'm just saying, like, one game this year, he's going to have a three. Yeah. Now,
you'd think.
I do. That's what I'm saying. I do think that. I think he has that game. Even if you go back and look, you know, pick a guy. Josh Allen had, like, one or two of those in college at Wyoming when they were terrible. Like, Wentz is just too talented to not have that game to me once or twice this year. When it's all going good, he's going to have it 5 or 6 times a year, but maybe it's once or twice. And if he were to have it this week, they win. Like, I think they win that game. Odds are he doesn't have it, because this, to your point, the Niners defense is really good. This is not the defense that he would have that game against.
I think you're going to see that unit kind of being like sharks
it.
In the water.
They
right
want,
now.
You're saying this is and a I, Sunday night bright lights.
I think they've been told, this guy's talented, but there's fucking blood in the water, and you're gonna kill him. You're the great white shark circling right now. And this defense, wouldn't you say, since they've gained their swagger starting really last year, they kind of carry themselves like that. Just their physicality, how hard they hit. Like, you watch Seattle. One thing with Seattle, they give up a lot of points. They hit hard, but they just, there's guys missing in spots. Like, the Niners, they don't blow that many. Like, their unit's just a pretty well-oiled machine. Now they have some injuries. They don't have talent, as much talent. But, like, Mosley might be a step off, and then he blasts you. And then all of a sudden, Jimmy Ward comes in for seconds. Like, they do. I think they're going to be out for it, man. I really do. Because they're going to see these limping in guys. They're going to go, okay, Ertz. Well, Warner's like, I'm better than Ertz. Whether that's true or not, I think Fred Warner would think that. And, like, who's beating us outside? Greg Ward Jr.?
So
it's going to be tough for Carson, man.
Well, if
actually,
that's
the
case,
more I'm talking myself into it, the Eagles are in trouble.
So if that's the case, that does turn into a game where Nick Mullins has, like, to me, Nick, if that's how their defense is playing, Nick Mullins is going to have the opportunity to get the ball and make some plays.
Not out of the realm possibility there's some sort of Brett Favre call in for Nick Mullins after this game. I guess that's there's no. But there's no, you know, typically they'd have guys on site.
Yeah, would they FaceTime Brett like during the third quarter if it's going well?
Yeah. Not out of the... I could see a Brett Favre tweet that they put up, you know, kind of like TNT style of just like, my guy slinging it, you know, or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, with like a GIF.
Yeah.
Or
like a football emoji.
Yeah, oh, you're right. It would be football emoji. Fireball, cannon arm, cannon. Yeah, so it does sound like, though, to conclude this, you feel like this is a game about the Niners defense. But Niners offense will be what it is. The Niners defense determines whether or not this is a 21-point win or a 3-point game or a loss.
I think the one thing we've learned now, Niners are going to score points. They got the fucking one of the best offensive coaches in the league. Like I don't even worry about that unit. And they got more guys back, which we'll get into here in a second. If the defense holds these guys under 20 points, like the Eagles have no shot. Like the Eagles better score some points if they want to win this game. The Niners ain't winning 17-13, right? We have evidence. Like they score.
Yeah. Yep.
And they score off turnovers. Like if you turn it over, if Carson throws two, if I tell you right now Carson throws two more picks, I'd put $1,000 on the Niners right now, right?
Yeah, I'd feel pretty good about him. Although I do feel like, did Mullins throw one last week that wasn't his fault, or was it his fault, or did he not throw one?
I think he threw one the previous week okay. to the Giants.
Because I feel like
I'm not saying Mullins hasn't been in too. Yeah, no, he does have one in him. Like he's good. I would say the over under right now on Mullins picks in this game would be 1.5.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I think by and large, like if we took a 7-game Mullins sample size, most of his games will be one touchdown, no pick, one touchdown, one pick. Like I think that, but I do think in that 7 there will be one that's like 2 or 3, maybe one's batted. And but then, he just tries to make plays. It's what part of what you like about him, but it.
And Jimmy's the better version of that, right? Like he's gonna Jimmy, his Jimmy will be like can, 2-1s or 2-0s.
He just has, but he'll also have ability to make them
3-2s.
Yeah,
yeah.
All right, so that's what we've determined. This game is about Carson Wentz versus Robert Saleh and the 49ers defense, an emerging superstar, Baldy Breakdown loves Javon Kinlaw. So George Kittle, Ayuk got moving last week. Looks like Deebo Samuel's going to play, even though we're not going to have Jimmy Garoppolo. All the stuff that we've talked about, the Wentz versus the Niners defense, if the Niners defense does what maybe we think it could do, then that frees Kyle's offense up to do a lot of stuff. Really, this is, even though Garoppolo's not here, I would say this is as real a look at the offense that Kyle Shanahan envisioned in the offseason as we've had. More real than week 1 when you didn't have Deebo, Ayuk wasn't really involved, and Kittle got hurt, even though Garoppolo was the quarterback.
I mean, what else do you want to see, baby? George Kittle?
I mean, you want to see Garoppolo.
You want to see, but I just want to see these three guys on the field at the same time. Because at the end of the day, it's Kyle scheming these guys open, right?
And he's going to do the same stuff with Nick that he would do with Garoppolo.
Yeah, to me, seeing Deebo and Ayuk together will feel like the offense is like you can go a 3-wide receiver set with Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, Kendrick Bourne, and George Kittle all at the same time. I think you feel really good about that offensive unit because Kendrick, you've proven Kendrick Bourne. Good third receiver. You just need a 1 and a 2. Now, maybe Ayuk and Deebo are just 2 really good 2s. That's fine. Because ultimately, Kittle's a 1, right? I mean, if you got Gronk or you got Kelsey, like, is Tyreek Hill? Like, check his numbers. Like, Tyreek is not Julio or just some belt, but he's basically their 2. Now, he's probably better, right? He's like a 1B. But, like, if your tight end is elite and can dominate...
I would just say...
You think I'm crazy?
No. I actually agree with you. What I would say is it's hard when you have a coordinator that gets the ball to everybody like Andy does and like Kyle does. Like, yeah. My point is I'm with you. Tyreek is at whatever you want him to be. Like, I would have how high you rank him.
I saw when I was in Philly.
But his production you can just may have not reflect it is my point.
Yeah, you can just... We had DeSean Jackson, Jeremy Maclin.
He is on pace for 16 touchdowns.
Who?
Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, well, I mean, he fucking plays with Mahomes, and they just throw bombs away. He's going to have a huge year. He's going to score a lot of touchdowns. How many catches does he have through 3 games?
15.
So he's, you know, 5 a game. That's pretty good pace.
It's and it, it, and it is five a game.
So my point though is like, do you ever? It's way too early on these guys. I think I saw that Brandon Ayuk was the second highest rated from PFF rookie last week, beside like Justin Jefferson, who had like 7 for 180 and a touchdown. Mm. I think Brandon Ayuk's going to be a good player. We know Debo, when healthy, can be a really impactful player. It's fun to watch, like, as a football, like, I want to watch receivers make sweet plays. So it's just like the last couple weeks, that was what was cool about having Ayuk back. I want to see these guys. I want to see all. I hate it when any wide receiver gets injured. I mean, it was cool to just watch Ruggs run down the field. I mean, we had blown this draft for so long.
Yep.
And then the Niners got a guy to go with Debo. It's like, I fucking want to watch that. Like, those are the guys that score the points, right? It's like, you always say the worst thing you can do on draft night is draft an offensive lineman. Like, they drafted their right tackle, yeah. McGlinchey.
It's not really solid, the worst thing. Like, it's a joke.
But it's a good
it's
football
the worst thing,
thing
on
but
that night. Yeah.
But it's also the worst thing as a fan. Like, you don't really watch the offensive lineman or even, like, a defensive. Like, for as cool as Kinlaw is, now it's probably, I guess, defensive tackles make some plays. But, like, there is something sweet. Like, when Nick Bosa was on the field or Khalil Mack on the field, it's easy to just watch that guy. Like, oh, my God, this guy's coming off the edge. Or in a wide receiver, just watch him make plays. I just like, I'm an offensive guy. I like fucking offensive guys making plays. Yeah. That's what I like. I like hard hits and offensive playmakers. That's why I come to football.
You like the plays you can see by just glancing at the TV. It's not like, oh, did you see Kinlaw shed that block? was that on the inside of the line? Well, let me check the all-22.
Did he hold the point? Like, I don't care.
You know, what nobody noticed was Bosa coming around the edge. Nobody noticed Kinlaw taking up. God, I'm talking about Bosa like he's alive.
He's gone. So, it's just, to me, Kittle, we got a little glimpse before Buda Baker hurt him. He had four catches, 44
yards. You're blaming
Buda
Baker.
No, I'm not. You see the Niners got his back, like the guy flipped out on Buda Baker on Twitter. You see that?
No.
Yes. Well, I mean, it made some like racist remarks.
Oh, okay. Niners, I did not see that. No.
Yeah, but it was like,
I saw that him and Kittle like texted after that game, like Buda.
Well, yeah, because like Buda posted this picture of this guy saying just absurd things, racist fucking dude, Niner fan. And not obviously welcome, then man. The Niners, like the next day, tweeted at Buda Baker, like, we will never tolerate this. We have your back. And then I think Kittle came out.
I missed that.
So they were talking, because I think Kittle said, listen, guys, this is a clean hit. He fucking wrapped around my legs. But the point is, in that game, through the first half of that game, it looked like Kittle, like, God damn, this guy's on a mission. Like, he would have had 8-9 catches in that game. He looked fantastic, right? He looked like, I'm one of the best players in the league. I've been waiting my whole career for this huge contract. I got it. Now I'm going to kick the shit out of everybody. And then he disappeared. Now, he came back in that game, but he missed the next two games. And he says, I'm ready to let it loose. Like, I enjoy watching George Kittle play football, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about
like,
a guy
who... He has a Pete Gronk level that just, like, he can make unreal plays.
Yeah, and he makes your run game better. And he just opens it up for other guys even more, right? Like, Ayuk did that last week. Well, he was playing the Giants, but he did that last week without the Debo threat and without the Kittle threat.
Yeah,
it just makes everyone's life easier. It makes Mullins.
I just know
easier.
As a football fan, I like going to the game knowing the best players for those two teams are in the game. That's what sucks about the Eagles. Like I wish the Eagles were fully healthy. I wish the Niners were fully I'd pay for that game. Like, I want to see that, but that's not the case.
Here's the other thing. You just made me think of this by talking about what it's like to, you know, when you're going to a game. I think for me, at least, I don't know if you felt this way or other people have felt this way, but since the moment Kittle got hurt and, you know, Debo was already out and just the whole slew of injuries in the Jets game, and then Jordan Reed gets hurt. But it's for me, it's primarily based on the Jets game. It started to feel to me like, last year's Niner team was one of just the bright light superstar teams in the NFL, right? They were just if you had a headliner, they would be on tier A. It was like the Niners, Lamar, Mahomes, right? Like that kind of felt like
that might have been it.
Yeah. And this year it's Mahomes, Russ, Rodgers, Josh Allen. Like, we're still figuring out, it's early. But it felt to me like this year was going to be more about not the bright lights and being the team everyone's interested in. it would be more about just like a slog. Like, can we just, can you find a way to get to 10 wins? Can you just put yourself in position? Can you, every week it was going to be like, who's playing? Who's playing? Who's playing? If you got Kittle, Debo, Ayuk, Sunday night football, this is what you made me think. It's like, I do think it can feel a little bit like the bright lights Niners are back. If it's Kittle, who's a superstar, who is one of the faces of the league, making plays on Sunday night football, I'd kind of expected, like, we're just going to be a really humbling year. Like, the Niners just got to humbly fight their way through it. But if they go score 35 on the Eagles and Kittle's throwing people, and it just, maybe it looks like the sweet ass kicking 49ers again, that I know they are when they're full, but I just kind of thought it wouldn't really be about that this year. But maybe it can look like that just because it's Kittle, superstar, Sunday night football. He just feels like the guy that does have 10 catches for 118.
The one thing then, it would, then Mullins would get a lot of credit if he's like slinging it around.
Look, we're in the content business. We don't do stupid shit. But also, if people start saying, having an argument about Jimmy, like,
well, the argument's already there.
It's just a stupid argument.
Going into this game. Yeah. Well, Kyle even said, like, Jimmy's our quarterback.
I think it's a stupid argument no matter what happens in this game. But
I agree. Happens. But I'm just saying, like, with every game that adds on, like, there's just more evidence to argue your point.
Yeah.
I really am interested to watch this guy play in a game that truly matters.
Mullins.
Now, last week mattered in the sense that they had to win it. But then once the game broke out, you're like, this team.
He could throw a pick and a win.
He doesn't have a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. He could throw two picks. This game, like, you're on Sunday Night Football. There's just pressure. The team just kind of needs to bank this win. You got your boys back. I'm just a little interested to see how he answers the pressure. The talent is there around him now with Kittle back, Debo back, Kyle ready to roll. I'm just really excited for this football game.
John, let's tell the people about mybookie.ag, promo code HAM and the number one. Mybookie.ag, promo code HAM and the number one.
Guy, people have been DMing me. They've been DMing you. They go, where do you gamble? And we respond the same every time. Mybookie.ag, promo code HAM1. I didn't put any money today on the baseball games. Didn't anything on the football games. We've been going back and forth on this weekend's games. Pretty good slate of just some interesting games. I know we like the Bucks playing Herbert. It's a game we like. But again, I'm a Nick Foles guy. Bears getting 2 points at home. Obviously the Sunday night game, I think the Niners are a pretty good bet, but 7 points a lot, Carson Wentz, but they are at home. They've kicked ass at home the last couple years against non-common opponents. They've been really good at home against non-common opponents. Last year they were. So mybookie.ag, promo code HAM1. We got golf going on. You can live bet baseball. There's a lot of shit going on. You got baseball, you got football, you got college football, you got the NBA. Get your gamble on mybookie.ag, promo code HAM1.
Don't forget, if you accept the bonus, because they'll match your first deposit dollar for dollar up to $1,000, you then have to bet the bonus before you can withdraw any winnings. Just something to be aware of. So you can decline the bonus, even if you use the code HAM1. Just do that. At least we get the credit. By the way, Alabama minus 18 against Texas A&M.
I watched some of Alabama-Missouri. Alabama looked really good, and I'm pretty sure I didn't watch A&M, but they barely beat Vanderbilt, who, from all accounts, is not supposed to be very good.
They lost Jamie Newman, and then Georgia lost Jamie Newman.
So, and you got Georgia Auburn Sunday night or Saturday night.
Was it Birdman that once said, "Looking at my Gucci, it's about that time." This is what we do on Thursdays: is we lock in Week One. What was our pick Week One? I don't even remember it.
Steelers Giants -6 covered that
Monday Night Football. Week Two, Niners. Minus
back to the
like four and a half. Something easy.
It was
against the Jets.
Jets. Yeah,
it was something like we're like it what?
I think it was 6 because the next week was a little smaller because Mullins.
Oh yeah, next week was 4. The Giants went, so we went Niners cover, Niners cover, easy. Niners are not our lock.
3-0 guy.
3-0. The thing is, we're just making a bet every week, putting $250 on it, rolling it over until we run out of money. This week we're doing a little differently because our philosophy has been, let's not just take a good team against a bad team. But there's two good teams playing two bad teams this week.
There was a moment, because we almost did this 2 weeks ago,
And I was going through, I went through all my DMs to answer just people had hit me up over the last week that I just hadn't gone to. And there was about a stretch of 25 DMs of people that parlayed the Niners and the Lions. And we're just reaching out to say thank you. And we kicked ourselves because we didn't do it. But we made a lot of people that listen to this podcast some money.
Yeah.
So we said, we see two games. We didn't really love any one game. But our philosophy, I mean, it's just been killing it, guy. So we went Ravens, Washington football team.
Minus 14.
Which is minus 14. And we went Rams, Giants, which is minus 13. I think it's fair to say when the NFL draft is finalized, right, January 1st or whatever, will you be shell-shocked if both those two teams aren't drafting in the top five?
I will be, yeah, I think, yes, yep.
Well, the Giants are a lock. I do think the Redskins, Chase Young's already injured, doesn't feel like Ron Rivera, who had to leave practice on Thursday. Because I don't know, he's battling cancer. Like, the Redskins got a lot. The Washington football team, they don't even have a fucking name. So it's just that franchise is a disaster, guy.
Can I just jump in for a second? I think this is such an underrated part. We talked about this like a month ago. This team doesn't have a name they're playing a football season. But it's like everyone treats it like it's normal. It's not normal. It's not normal to not have a name. Like your four-year-old doesn't have a name, but they're not four. They've been around forever. This is like your 50-year-old. Like, what's your name? I don't know. We'll get back to me next year.
Listen, I think this 70-year-old this podcast show, we respect Ron Rivera. I'm rooting for Ron Rivera. I can't imagine how difficult it is to be the head coach and be going through these chemotherapy treatments or whatever fact. Like, it's
getting blood.
You know,
getting blood.
He even said
IVs at halftime.
It's going to be difficult, and that to me, that just for a team that's like building and starting from scratch, it's not going to be good to begin with. That's going to be difficult. So
here's the other
Ravens,
the other,
awful loss. Yeah, Rams, awful loss.
Yep.
So we parlayed them. It almost pays 3-1. 250 pays like almost $685 or $681. We're just going to try to go back to the well, what we would have done with the Niners. And this is going to be a little difficult. That's a lot of points, right? We're combining. We got to win by 27 points.
Yeah.
That is a lot of points in the NFL. But I think these two teams are terrible. And I like the Ravens. Guy, they just got embarrassed. They have a history these last 2 years of destroying teams. And I think the Rams, who also, they didn't get embarrassed, but they had a rough loss. This is just, you look at the Niners when they played the Giants, like, aren't the Giants a get your mojo right game and just throw up 50?
Oh, the Ravens, just as we're talking, it went from minus 120 to minus 110. We just lost $10. Well, not $10, but 10, whatever, yeah, however, 10 points bit, on the yeah, VIG.
Which impacts, actually, we get better odds when it's minus one. No, we don't. Not ideal. But whatever. I don't know why this is moving.
I know why it's moving.
Line movement?
No. We do get more money. Now it pays $650. It pays us $680.
Okay, we're good.
I know why it's moving, because we're doing this video / podcast topic right now. That's why it's moving. So two other elements to what you just said. One, it's a road game for the Ravens, but it's an easy road game, right? It's a short week, but it's an easy drive. And then for the Rams, like, it's a home game for them. I thought if you're going to lose a game, like, you did not walk out of there feeling bad about yourself if you're the Rams. I mean, you feel bad that you lost. You're pissed, whatever mistakes you made that put you in that hole. I get it. But you walk out of there thinking, like, in some way, you have to be proud of yourselves, I think, for coming back. And they had a bad fourth down penalty call away from winning that game in Buffalo. I think you got to feel pretty good.
Yeah.
So both teams should be angry. One's at home, inspired. The other team's pissed, driving down the Beltway, I think it is, or something like that, to get to D.C. So
I think it is, yeah. I feel good about this. I think if this is a normal year with fans, the lines are just would have been weirder. Those lines, to me, given how the disparity, I saw Field Yates tweeted or someone tweeted today that this is the first time a team with like 10 all pros has played a team with zero all pros. Remember the Ravens like set a record last year with their pro bowlers and all pros.
A hell of a research.
Like the talent disparity with, I wanted to call him Miles Garrett, Chase Young out. I feel great about it.
Should we talk about the how we almost made it a three-team parlay but decided not to?
Yeah, we almost went with the Bills.
Minus three. And if we had done that, it would have gone from paying 681 to paying 1420. But we didn't do it. Yeah, I mean, we almost did it. We actually had it kind of ready to go and then decided just here. And I think to summarize why.
I don't trust the Raiders. And that also slash, like, I kind of respect, like, who knows?
Yeah,
it's a weird team.
It's to me, it's like Ruggs is out. Brian Edwards is out. Shouldn't this be Bills like 5.5 or 6? But it's not. Like, it's just something's weird. And it's been 3 and it's stayed 3. So it's almost like they're begging. It's almost too easy to take the Bills here. So we kind of got spooked. Is that fair?
I'll be a little surprised. I mean, I'll be surprised if the Raiders win. I would not be surprised if the Bills win pretty comfortably. Would you? When I say comfortably, like,
no, I mean, they've looked phenomenal. I think part of this is just like, what's up with this game? Are they 3-0? And they just, we'll talk about them, but. No, I would not be surprised. I mean, their defense is good. Josh Allen's explosive.
Guy, if you go 12-4, if you go 12-4, you lose a game every 4 games, right?
Yeah,
like you go.
But how are the Raiders going to keep them to under 35 points?
I don't know. They're missing Damon Arnett. You see, got surgery on his thumb today. That was already broken. How about that? Like, can you imagine getting your thumb bent back when it's already broken? The pain. When I saw him, like, squirreling on the ground, I got uncomfortable because I couldn't even imagine an already broken thumb bent back at you thinking, like, why am I doing, who am I doing this for? We fucking suck at defense. Like, what am I, my hand? Like, just, the pain these guys, I had nothing but respect for that guy. I don't know how good a player he is, but you play with a broken thumb and then you get it bent back while it's in the cast and then you got to re-get surgery. I can't even imagine. These NFL guys, man, it's just...
The last time I played basketball, I jammed my finger and I retired from the sport, John.
Yeah.
Retired.
He's pain tolerance.
Low. His high. We were just talking about how we're not taking the Bills minus 3, even though we like that line. Something feels a little off. Maybe part of it is, are the Bills really going to be 4-0? You know, one of the reasons I picked the Rams last week was... I thought the Rams had played 2 really tough opponents. The Bills had played 2 soft opponents. But then they look great. I give them credit, even though the Rams made that comeback for that game. On paper, there's, like, to me, it's an upset if the Raiders beat them, even though I think the Raiders, when healthy, are a playoff team.
Can I give you some numbers?
Give me 70%,
some numbers. 70%, 9 yards attempt, 9 yards per attempt. 10 touchdowns, 1 pick, our boy from Wyoming and Bakersfield, California.
Wow.
Bakersfield, too late.
Fireball.
10 touchdowns, 1 pick through 3 games.
I mean, that's MVP level football.
Like, right now, everyone's blowing Rodgers, and rightfully so. He's like,
and Russ.
79-0.
What's Russ? Russ like 85.
16.
Oh, did it go down? Yeah. Is he still at 85%?
No, he's at like 85. I'm talking the touchdowns. Oh. He's throwing like 6 a game. You know, he's through 4 or 5. He's got to be at like 13. He's at a lot. But, I mean, Josh Allen, 10 through 3 games.
He's at 4. Yeah, did you say 14? Yeah, 14.
Yeah, I was going to guess. Yes, high. 10's a lot, you know? I mean, I'd be shocked if he's not second in the touchdowns thrown so far through 3 games. If Russ is in first, that's pretty good. You know, you're averaging 3.2 touchdowns a game. I mean, he's been fantastic. He's been everything that you can ever want, ultimately, in sports. Because I don't think, like, in businesses, when they make a huge acquisition, a lot of times it's based on, like, number projections. I think in sports, a lot of times, when the number projections look awful, you're just betting on the unquantifiable talent, the stuff the numbers guys always push back. I'm telling you, he's got the stuff Billy Beane pushed back in that room. We don't... Not the eye test. Billy's got pop. What the fuck does that mean?
He's got a good-looking girlfriend.
Yeah, people just walked into the scouting room. I'll never forget being at the Combine 3 years ago, and my buddy that's, you know, one of the lead guys on, I don't know, the Chiefs, who's looked poised to win another one. He was also on the Eagles when they won it. Like, he's got multiple rings. He's one of the high-end scouts. He looked at me because he's like, you're crushing Josh Allen. He's like, I'm telling you, I like Josh Allen. And this is not, he's not like media hyperbole guy. I mean, this is a legitimate executive in the league that just is an elite evaluator. And I always thought, like, I think you're wrong. And he was right. Now, a huge evaluation part of it is just, I think that if he gets to the right place, he'll figure it out. It was just like Wyoming, the talent, just he's just way too talented. I also think what people liked is because people had done like Carson and him kind of in like a 2-year window. I think there was a lot about this guy's personality. And if you follow him on Instagram, I think he's a pretty like down to earth, easy, like people just love him. Like, it's just like, yeah, we just like this guy. You know, like, I think there's stuff with Russ where people go, he's just so good, whatever, but he's kind of weird. Rodgers, kind of an elitist. Say one thing for Brady. He always kept with his teammates, like, fuck, Tom's the man.
Yeah.
Like, he was just like, Tom's just...
The 199...
I said one time.
The 199 thing with him is not... is real, right? Like, he really identifies with being that guy.
And I think there's an element to this guy... This guy went seventh, right? I mean, it's pretty, based on his numbers, probably won't see that again. Would you agree there? See a guy go that high? I guess you never know if he's a talented guy.
Yeah.
His numbers were terrible. Remember? They were putrid.
Yeah, it was like oh, what, like, check this box score? 6 of 12?
Yeah, it was awful.
But when I would watch him, he'd be like a snowstorm, and he'd be playing with you and me.
I do think you just watch him, though, you go...
Well, he's gotten
better.
This
guy's got a little Mahomes to him.
He's gotten better,
too. Dramatically better.
Right.
Isn't there something, to me, you know who his comp is? It's a little like Giannis in basketball. Remember when they took him, he was like grainy footage in Greece, and then like 4 or 5 years later, he's like the best player in the league. Now, I don't know if this guy can be the best player in the league because of Mahomes, but he can be, if I tell you this guy just hits, like this guy's a home run draft pick, he's going to have moments like Mahomes, right? Because he can run to the left, throw it 50 yards to the right. He can just do things that no one else can do besides, like, Rodgers.
I mean...
And even Rodgers doesn't do it as much anymore because he's just old.
Well, he does feel like a guy. Giannis is interesting. Mahomes is... He feels like a guy right now that's getting exponentially better, right? He didn't go from 20 touchdowns and 9 picks. He's not about to turn in a 26-7 year, right? Like, if he was 20 touchdowns, 9 picks last year, 58, he was basically 59%. And then this year he came back and was 60%. Little better, 26 touchdowns, little better, 7 picks, little better. You go, oh, making progress. But John, he was basically 2-1 touchdown to interception last year. He's got 10-1. You're not going to keep that up. He's not going to stay 71, but like he might have a 30.
If he throws 35 touchdowns.
Yeah, he might have a 37 touchdown, I don't know, 8 pick season. 7 pick, you know, maybe he'll have a game with 3 and whatever. But my point is he is not just like improving. He is getting exponentially better, and that is what superstars do. And he's doing it as a top pick from a school where he wasn't productive, so there was expectation and pressure, a lot, maybe some self-doubt.
Went to a shitty team.
Yeah. Now, obviously a good coach, but now I did see Micah Hyde might be out in this game, and I guess John Brown has a calf, so he might be out. But if this guy is this guy, then... He can make, you know, it's like he's got to carry a little more. He's still got, I mean, Stephon Diggs is happy not to be playing Jalen Ramsey this week. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. If I sent you the over-under right now on 34.5 touchdowns, 2020, Josh Allen, are you taking the over?
You know, I will, because even though I look at, when anytime you see 10-1, your reaction should be, oh, you can't keep that up. But I watch him and think, I felt like I was right to bet against him last year in the playoffs. And now I would not bet against him in the playoffs now. Like, the guy's just special.
Well, I look at it like this. He's got 13 games left. He could easily average 2 a game. That's 26. That'd be at 36, right?
Yeah.
I don't think that's crazy. Like, to me, he would have to have a rough stretch of games to not be in the mid-30s.
I mean, now...
Because the one thing... Because like Mahomes... And just any, you know, guy that has an elite arm, he's liable to have a couple 4-touchdown games.
Right.
So he can have a 1-touchdown game. Yeah. Like, but I mean, that's when you have the big arm, well, the one thing Mahomes, Russell, and Rodgers, they have is, and Brady had this in his peak, and so did Manning, they're getting touchdowns outside of the red zone, right? They are getting like a 40-yard, hit a guy in stride, hit a guy over the middle, hit a guy where all he's got to do is break one little tackle. How many does Russell get where he hits the guy where he's at the 50-yard line, you know, or Rodgers too, and definitely Mahomes. You rack up touchdowns because you're going to throw some in the red zone. It's just, if you're a good quarterback, NFL football, you're going to hit, you know, probably of your 10 red zone trips, three or four are going to be touchdown passes and a couple runs and some field goals. But if you're also getting like the 30-plus touchdowns, which I'd put him in that category, now you add Diggs, like he's going to have a lot of bombs, man. That's just, that's the way they play. And that's his arm. Like he's going to.
I guess Diggs had two overturned last week in the first quarter. Two touchdowns overturned. Yeah.
I like that little combo of him and Diggs. They might just be meant for each other.
Yeah, I think they are. I think they are.
Would you say that's like a pretty unreal personnel move? Just trade your first round pick for a guy specifically for your quarterback that's a perfect fit?
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? Tried to do that for 8 years and he kept missing John Schneider, and we consider him one of the best GMs in the league. Right?
Yeah.
It's hard to do because you're like, Percy with Russell should work. Jimmy Graham with Russell. And then maybe it just doesn't
should
always work.
Should have asked his defense if they thought Jimmy Graham would work. They told him, actually, publicly.
Yeah. It's like,
you want to check with anybody? Did you ask Pete? Pete might have had a take on that.
Yeah, Pete's on the river fishing.
Okay. From the Raiders opponent this week to the Raiders opponent last week, Belichick. And he got a lot of credit for what they did to the Raiders offense, which, again, I think, and I think you think this, they're good. They're good. Now, they didn't have Ruggs, and that clearly affected Waller. But I think Bill affected Waller. Patriots-Chiefs this week. And I know we're trying to build up the Lamar-Pat Mahomes deal. But Bill, Bill is not that. Bill's in the rear view, clearly, with Andy right now, just in terms of what his team can do this year. But this if Bill can pull this one off, they're getting 7, I think. But if he can win the game, it has the potential to be in a career of just legendary performances. This could be a legendary Belichick performance.
I think, you know, short week for the Chiefs. Clearly that game for Kansas City is probably bigger than this one, just because I think a lot of people looked at the Ravens are just better than the Chiefs or better than the Patriots, right, which is even weird to say. But just like they're the two best teams in the AFC, it did feel like the Chiefs and just Andy's game plan was, I didn't just watch draft guys all summer. I prepared some game plan for the Ravens. I think it's probably a little more difficult to prepare for Belichick, just given that, like, who knows even on their team, things were changing. I think that was a game that Andy had circled. And I think the team, we're all humans. You kind of feed off it all. Like, I just think you can't convince me. And I think the Ravens were the same thing. Like, that was a big fucking game for those two teams. I don't know if this is big a game for the Chiefs, which is wild to say. But I don't know. I kind of like the Patriots in this situation to kind of get
to win.
Just get the Chiefs not super focused. Get the Chiefs just, you know, maybe underestimate you a little. But it's hard to underestimate the Patriots because they're 2-1 and they got Cam. But just
Cam is a new challenge for the Chiefs, right?
Tom Brady's not there. But if you're Belichick and you win this game, you got the Broncos the following week. Then you got the Niners, the Bills, the Jets. This could get interesting fast. I kind of like the Patriots just to kind of keep it close. Yeah. I don't know if they win Mahomes. To me, Mahomes is like an NBA player. It's like, oh, you watch LeBron, he had like 3 points through the third quarter, and he ends up with like 28. Like at any moment, Mahomes
there just
is
might
like,
not
okay,
be
these two drives.
Yeah, I mean, that's the difference, right, between Mahomes and most other guys. Certainly even Derek last week, where Bill can do whatever Bill does, but Bill doesn't get to run onto the field, right? Like once the play breaks down and Mahomes does whatever Mahomes does. And you try, and the other thing is, you're like, again, Ruggs wasn't that you're chasing Tyreek and you're chasing Kelce. Like, these are all guys that when it comes time to make a one on one play or a double covered play, they just might make, right? Tyreek just might run past the double team. Kelce might just jump up and beat a double team. Mahomes just might fuck the whole thing up for you. That's why we talk about him so much. Like, you've got two geniuses with the headsets going at each other. Like, the Andy Bill element's fantastic, right?
I think the one thing with the Ravens and Harbaugh versus the Chiefs, why I think they anointed it,
is because when you do look at the Ravens roster, like they had Marcus Peters, they extended him last week or year. You see today they gave Marlon Humphrey like $90 million. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much is so like they have players everywhere. And then obviously on offense, like the talent discrepancy in this game on paper guy is pretty wide. You know, like who's the best player on the Patriots offense beside Cam? Is it Edelman? Right? I mean, it's just
Sony Michel.
What would Edelman be like?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just it's hard. That's where I would give Bill respect, but it is a short week, and I do think the Chiefs put a lot into last week, and rightfully so.
I'm not picking the Patriots. I think everything you just said is why it would be such a signature win for Bill, because he's shorthanded. He does not have the deck that Andy has.
No.
Reed. So yeah. We call him Andy.
Andy Kaufman.
Show. Andy Kaufman. Man on the moon. All right, another guy we love, you mentioned it, Nick Foles, John. Just how many, like Nick Foles, he doesn't have a storybook. He's got like a collection, like J.K. Rowling. He's got like a bunch of storybooks. He releases them like, oh, another Nick Foles storybook is out. Did you see this one? Oh, a new storybook. That's incredible. You know, the first, no one even talks about the first Nick Foles storybook where he was almost the MVP in the NFL. The first time with Andy, right?
No, it was Chip, remember?
Oh, with Chip? That was with Chip?
Yeah, and he threw like, yeah, it was like 30 touchdowns, two picks.
Well, that was
they
the
were
first
really good
storybook. And everyone's like, oh, cute book, but I don't know if this author really, you know, feels the pain. This is like a mainstream pop hit, but this isn't really like a real song. And then he came back, just the greatest song ever written and executed, sung with the passion of Jack Black to win the Super Bowl. And now he's like, then people are like, oh, he should retire. Great book. And he's got another book. This is crazy. Now, I do, this is an interesting like Frank Reich, Matt Nagy thing going this week. Two guys that love Nick Foles. I think it's a different animal a little bit that he's not entering a game where it's just like, all right, Nick, go win it. We're down 20, just sling it around. But
is it home? They do get to build the game plan around him all week. The Colts are solid, but it's not like he's playing the Chiefs or even the Ravens. Or Seattle, like the Colts are just, you know, a solid like 9-7 when I think the Colts. The Bears on paper, because if I told you the Bears quarterback was Josh Allen, I think we'd be like, oh, the Bears are 13-win team just because their talent's pretty good and their defense is really good. I think the Nick Foles thing does feel like he catches lightning in a bottle on given moments, but when he has to like play legitimate games, sometimes he can look really terrible, which he can. I expect him to play well this week. If I was gambling on this game, I'm undecided. I would take the Bears. They're at home, guy, and they're the underdog. I almost feel like Nick doesn't get any respect.
Yeah, I
saw Portnoy and they have like some gambling thing in Philly. He did his pizza review today in Philly in a Nick Foles Arizona jersey.
It's a good jersey.
And just kind of trolling the people.
I think Arizona.
Just, I'm a Nick Foles guy.
Arizona Wildcat football has two of the best kind of novelty jerseys you could wear. The Foles, what was it, 7? What number was it?
8.
8. And the Gronk 49? Or 48 is the Gronk Arizona jersey.
Yeah. That's pretty solid.
The Foles Arizona jersey is a strong, strong jersey. I think he's good. I thought he was good last year. Like, I thought he was going to be.
You like the Bears this game?
Well, look, the Bears have just, like, they've been the team to
bet
on.
They'd be 4-0 if they win this game.
Yeah, they've been the team that's, like, I think every week this year I've been like, I don't like the Bears this week. And for, like, three quarters I've been like, genius. That's happened twice. The Lions game, I was like, Middlecoff, idiot. And then last week I'm like, Falcons, I'm a genius. I knew it. What was the other game they played?
They played the Giants.
That was an easy one. But twice I've been like, genius, and then they come storming back. So I can't pick against them now. I'm just, you know, I like to like things the right amount, and I hate when people like things too much. I'm liking it the right amount. I'm the right person. And I like him a lot. Like, I really like him. I think he's going to be really good. I think they're good. I do wonder, is it too easy to take them this week? But I think, is he the better quarterback in this game?
I don't think. That might be a little strong.
I mean, Phillips actually been better.
Start to finish game.
Phillips been better this year than I thought he was going to be, honestly.
Foles did just throw three touchdowns in the fourth quarter against the Falcons, though. Three touchdowns. Three.
Yeah.
He can't throw touchdowns. He's got white.
No.
I mean, Miller and Allen Robinson and Jimmy Graham, like him and Jimmy Graham, is Nick Foles going to resurrect Jimmy Graham's career?
Well, I do. Like, I pulled up the Bears' numbers, and I'm like, how can I even look at these? Like, they're catching the ball from Trubisky. I don't even know what to make of this, right? I do think there's a misconception about Foles in that because he's not, like, super mobile, you don't think of him as, like, a playmaker. But I think he kind of prefers to play backyard football. That's why, like, the last week's game against the Falcons, I think, really benefited him. You know what? That makes me think he's going to be good against the Colts because I think the Colts will score points, even though the Bears' defense, I think this will be kind of the same deal. Like, I think he's just going to have to make some plays. Like, I do, like, I think people don't think about him like a playmaker, but we could put together a highlight reel of Nick Foles' career. We could put together, John, probably 50 throws that are just, oh my God, right?
Oh, for
probably
sure.
More that are just holy shit. He threw two dropped touchdowns. People forget against the Falcons.
They do have 9 throwing touchdowns through 3 games. Trubisky has 6. He has 3. Like they have thrown a lot of touchdowns this year through 3 games. Like that 9. That's more than the Niners in the air. Like that's just.
Oh, I forgot about the Darnell.
They are pretty.
Yeah, I forgot about the Darnell Mooney touchdown.
I have no clue who Darnell Mooney is. That guy played for
his fifth round pick out of Tulane.
Jackie Moon?
I don't know who that is.
Nick Foles is going to make him a star, they'll tell you that. All right, before we move on, John, let's tell the people about Manscaped. I mean, look, come on. You're going to spend all Sunday on the couch, and you're going to need to start your week fresh. You're going to do it with manscaped.com promo code HAM. Get you 20% off and free shipping. Manscaped.com. So many listeners, John, have told us, I'm happy. Thank you. And I've said send pics. And they do. Manscaped.com.
Of their balls?
I don't actually say that.
Manscaped.com. Promo code HAM20. Manscaped.com. Promo code HAM20. Lawnmower 3.0. Crop preserver. Toiletry bag. They got it all. Just go to the website. Manscaped.com. Promo code HAM20. Appreciate you supporting the show. Appreciate you listening to the show. Appreciate you shaving your balls with Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0, promo code HAM20.
Product so good, the Niners got on board. All right? So you get the ceramic blade with the skin safe technology. You can get the crop preserver, like John said. You get the perfect package 3.0 for limited time. Subscribers get not one but 2 free gifts, the shed travel bag and the patented high-performance anti-chafing Manscaped boxer briefs. 20% off. When you want to... support. Did I say ham the first time? I did. Thank you for correcting me.
Yeah, ham 20. Someone sent me a picture that they used ham, so maybe that still works too.
Ham 20. Manscaped.com, ham 20. How about this matchup this week? Herbert Brady. Justin Herbert, Tom Brady. Now, as two people that were big proponents of Herbert playing, I do think, and this is not Tyrod got a shot that punctured his lung, and so they're obligated to start him. I do think we could see Herbert, if he doesn't play great for a string of games, just it would be an easy one for them, I think, to bring Tyrod back once he's healthy. And this is a tough game. Like, we saw I like Tampa to cover. I don't have the points in front of me. I saw it earlier. It might be 7.
It was 7.5, yeah. Going back in 7.
I do like them. There's so much to like about the Chargers, and there's so much to like about Herbert. This just feels to me, John, like a game where – you've got so much to deal with. Is Godwin playing or not? Do we know? I know we got banged up.
I think
again.
He's out. He's out.
I think the way to summarize this game is really good offensive coach and quarterback that should know everything to do on a given play, whether or not Tom can execute it, right? But you're talking about a quarterback that knows what to do on every play versus a guy that's still figuring it out.
I think I'm with you that he could have a rocky stretch and it'd be an easy one for the Chargers. This is the type game he goes and beats Brady and plays well against Todd Bowles' defense where it makes it impossible.
Yeah.
Right? You get back to 2-2. All of a sudden, you get some momentum. This would be one of the bigger stories of the day, Herbert beating Brady and just Herbert playing well. Yeah, man, I don't expect him to play well. I would be shocked if this game is that close. But if he does... I think your theory, which is kind of the Chargers' theory of like, we can go back to them and get their season back on track whenever his lung is not punctured. Does your lung heal? How does that, do they, I don't know how that works.
Good question.
Yeah, so to me, this is a big moment for Herbert's career, early career, with Tyrod still in the building of like, I think you win this game. Like, I'm sorry, Tyrod, we're not talking about you anymore. You agree there?
Yeah, and I would say he doesn't have to go like make a bunch of plays. If he just makes the right plays and doesn't make mistakes and they win the game, that's good enough, right? Like, it doesn't have to be him looking flashy where you come out of it going, ah, there's stuff that Tyrod would have done that he couldn't do. Like, if he just makes the right enough of the right plays and they win the game and he doesn't make any mistakes that kill him, then that's enough. Now, like you said, the defense has been good. You could argue, well, they've played the Saints. I guess the Saints had Michael Thomas when they played in week one. Then they played Teddy. Then they played the Driscoll-Brett Rypien combo. But I do think they're actually good. And
who?
The Bucs defense. Like, they're actually good.
I do too.
Okay, Godwin's out, but
we know Arians' offenses are good. So, like, the Bucs are a good team. Like, the Bucs to me are just a playoff team, right?
Yep.
Like, that's just, it'd be Herbert beating a playoff team with a good defense. I'd be shocked. I'd be floored, impressed. I don't think Anthony Lynn has it in him. I think Herbert would have it in him if he had, like, Sean Payton or Andy Reid and could just navigate it. But you watch them play, like, they kind of ask him to, like, start freelancing and making shit happen. It's like, guys, you got Keenan Allen and Mike Wynn. Can you guys run an, and Hunter Henry, can you run an offense to get him some easy plays? Maybe a lot's going on for him. One thing with Todd Bowles' defense is it's a blitzing defense guy. And when I think Herbert, like, it's just, that could be a lot happening.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Now,
if you told me that it's a three pick game, would you believe that?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I mean, look, they played the Chiefs in his first start. And we were like, oh, well, no one prepared for Herbert. All the talk about that game afterwards was about him. But the defense almost beat the Chiefs and Mahomes. The Chargers defense did a good job against Patrick Mahomes.
I would say that was a unique game where Bosa and Ingram were dominating.
But isn't that what those guys do?
Yeah, but how many times do you watch the Chiefs and they just look that kind of lackluster? It doesn't.
You're
that
saying was, it was about
just
them.
An off game for the Chiefs.
You're not giving the Chargers full credit.
No, well, I'm just saying those two guys. But I thought the two pass rushers were exceptional, and I just felt the Chiefs were just kind of lifeless. It's like, whatever, we're playing the Chargers. Has Andy Reid ever lost to the Chargers?
Yeah, you're right. They are in their division. They almost know them too well.
Yeah, I don't put much stock into that. Because the Chiefs team I watched on Monday night did not look like the Chiefs team in that game.
No.
You agree there?
No. Again, like I said, to me, when we talked about our lock of the week, I might bet this game, actually. But I'm not going to take it back. I don't want to bet against Herbert. I want to see him succeed. I want to see him look good. I want to see him solidify his spot. How about Dak this week? What do you think of Dak this week?
I put a little money on the Cowboys. I'm not buying into the Browns going to Dallas and winning this game. I think the Browns are a little overhyped. And is Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott going to start 1-3? Is Dak Prescott in a contract year going to be 1-3? How is he going to get this $100 million contract if this team misses the playoffs again? Even if they were to make the playoffs, let's say you could make the playoffs at 7-9 in that division. Does that guarantee him a contract?
No.
I'm not in the pay Dak camp really right now. And I like him, but I just, given what he wants and how it's always gone up because the next quarterback, I pass.
This game is interesting, right?
I pass on Dak.
This game,
I'm not out on Dak, I'm just passing on him.
But you think they handle the Browns this week?
Yeah, I think they win. I just think they're better, more equipped.
Well, you know what this game is?
Offense, they can pass.
This game is this is a poor man's Cowboys Seahawks game where there's like talent on all over the place. But this time the Cowboys have, I mean, actually the Cowboys have more talent in that game too, probably, right? Although maybe not. DK took the Middlecoff take today. He was like, Lockett is underappreciated. I'm like, well, thank you. He won me DraftKings last week too. But that
DK Metcalf said that?
DK said that Lockett is underappreciated. Yeah, which is what you said on the podcast the other day.
Because I now feel like DK gets all that credit, right?
Yes, DK gets all of the credit.
Yeah.
By the way, shout out to Mike Perry, who sent me a screenshot. Somebody had basically my lineup in DraftKings last week, a little worse. I actually had two more points than this person did, and they were in a game where they won $10,000. He's like, I don't know if you want to see this, but I'm sending you this link. And it did bum me out after I won 3/5, whatever I won in our league.
Well, do you, sometimes I'll just look around at some games going on DraftKings, and like I'm in a game right now where the winner would get $25,000.
Well, I am 100% getting in some big money games this week. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, you're just gonna find out it's impossible. I'm in a couple. I'm gonna talk. I see it with golf too.
Yeah,
it's difficult. That's why a lot of people listen to like go to these YouTubes where they just break down the DFS.
I know,
like price points. And I've done. I used to do it for golf. I don't have the energy to do it for football, but I think it helps clearly.
Well, I'm thinking if I'm going to put in the energy to do it in our league, I might as well do it in a game where I could win $20,000
or
a million.
Sure.
Maybe this is the week.
They tax you on that, or they just send you a free check?
Yeah, they tax you. Because when I told Alyssa, I was like, "Oh, I could have won $10,000." She goes, "Well, the good news is you didn't make enough money to get taxed on this game." I was like, "Oh," it's like, "But I've won so much. I think I do have enough in there to." I said, you haven't seen what we've been doing at my bookie, but
no. They won't tax either.
I like the Cowboys in that game, but I just don't know. It's going to be hard as watching the Cowboys to this point. To your point, I think it's going to be hard to like get to the end of the year and go Dak, where everyone like just consensus is pay him. Usually the guys that it's consensus to pay him, it's pretty obvious when it's consensus to pay him.
I saw you were telling me about this, but I saw it on my Twitter account about the dude on the A's freaking out about the body clocks and the early morning kickoffs.
Jake Diekman.
Look at the clock right now. Yeah. It's 10 o'clock. You did night radio. What was it? 7 to 11?
7 to 11.
And just like basketball players and people that play at night stuff. Even when your body clock, there is something to be said when you just look outside and it's dark. You just kind of like, I'm like, God, I feel kind of my juice is gone. I don't feel now. I've been up, I've talked, I've recorded other podcasts, but it's like, fuck. I got a lot of respect for you doing a night show. That 10 to 11 hours, no joke.
No joke. I've always been pretty productive at night. Like when I have stuff to do, I tend to leave it till late and then I get it done like into 2 a.m. That show was, you'd have caffeine at like 8:30.
You're not an early morning guy.
I can be. I love the feeling of like being up at 6:45, having my coffee, like reading stuff and getting 6:30, whatever. But I'm also a procrastinator. So I do just tend to have to get a lot of stuff done late. But that was, I mean, it's weird, man. It's fun. You came in a couple times late, right? You came into the studio on the night show with me back in the day.
I don't do my best, like, I got to get it done probably before like 9-ish because I just run out of juice.
Yeah. Well, you would sleep. I wouldn't fall asleep.
I'm like Gruden. A buddy on the staff a couple years ago told me, I'm like, what's he like? He's like, well, he hits the ground running.
Yeah.
He's like, but he runs out of juice. You know, he ain't redlining at 7 at night. You know, you're just running out of juice.
To me, you just adapt, right? You just, whatever it is you have to do, but. To me, the tough thing about doing a show at 7 at night is just it's on your mind all day long. So I would just, it'd be like, I'd start preparing. Like, you're thinking about it all the time. You start preparing at 1. And, you know, it's just like, I might as well just, it's just going to be, I couldn't like go play golf in the afternoon. Some people can. I couldn't. Like, it would just be on my mind. So, yeah, that was special. You take a lot of calls. But I don't even know if we did that much. I mean, we just goofed around. You know what? Like, too, I grew up loving, like, late-night TV. So I always felt like the cool thing about being on at 8 or 9 or 10 is that you can just fuck around and it's, like, part of the deal. I used to listen to nighttime sports talk as a kid all the time. And I always felt like, not that no one's listening, but you just had – I did feel like there was a lot more freedom from 7 to 11 p.m.
Yeah, a lot of blank canvas for sure.
Totally. And you could just do stupid shit. And just do it because whatever. Not that we didn't do that during
the day.
Bosses
ain't listening.
Yeah, well, JB did. JB was a listener. Like, he would all. He didn't miss anything, to his credit.
Yeah.
But I don't know. The thing was, to me, the hard part was that you get off at 11. I wouldn't fall asleep till like 1:30 or 2.
Yeah.
You just because to get up at 7 to 11, you just got to get hype yourself up so much. I'd probably drink caffeine too late. I was probably drinking caffeine at like 9 o'clock. But I just remember what that 9:45.
You had to have juice for the last.
To me, the 9:45 second, like, coming up next. But JB wanted us to be on, John, in case when the Warriors game ended at 10:15, get some Warrior fans hopping in the car. You got to be ready for them. So he'd be like, "All right, let's talk Warriors." I've been like watching the game like while I'm doing the show. But
yeah, it's tough. I props to you because I'm at it. It's 10:10.
I'm keeping you on. Good night. I'm keeping you on the podcast to tell you these stories about how hard it is later.
Peace.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.